Thank you, Brother Ronald. It's good to be in God's house today, to have the opportunity to come and to study His Word, fellowship one with another. And I pray to put our thoughts upon the Lord this morning. And I'm thankful for the song service, that the songs that were sang, how they blessed our heart. We've heard them many times, but that story never grows old to a child of God. And so we're certainly today thankful for you being in God's house, for you visiting with us, if you're a visitor, and for the people here at Burnout for being so faithful. Trust that you've had a good week this week. It's kind of been busy. Seems like, you know, I guess sometimes it seems like every night we're going somewhere. And so kind of been that way this week, every night it seems like we've been somewhere. And a couple of nights this week, we had opportunity to go to revival services, and we enjoyed them. And as I went to those revival services, a thought that impressed my heart this week, that as I went and listened to God's Word, that I thought, well, you know, these messages that I'm hearing, I've heard them before. I've heard them being spoke before. And I kind of wondered and kind of impressed, and God impressed upon my heart, well, even though that we've heard them before, the story of the gospel shouldn't grow old to us, though we've heard them time and time again. And the second thought that burdened my heart was how needful they are to us today. Even though it may seem simple to us, it may that we've seen them that so many times that sometimes we've become accustomed to them, but how important they are to us in the world and in our lives today. So it is with a message this morning that I'm going to be sharing from the book of Luke chapter 23. It's a very simple, simple message. I guess if you want to say from on the grade level from 1 to 12, we go back to grade 1. But it's a message that I pray that you will cherish and that you love concerning the Word of God today. The message deals with just simply the old rugged cross. You know, as we sing that song, the old rugged cross, there's another song that has been penned that states, what have we done with the old rugged cross? I think the theme of that song that led to that was that we don't hear it much sang about today, and certainly we don't hear it preached about from the pulpits in our churches today. Maybe it's because of the prideful culture that we live in today that it's become unpleasant to us, and maybe it's become unpopular to us in our culture that we live in. But Paul said to his readers in 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And I realize that today. I realize that if you're sitting here and you're lost, unless the Holy Spirit grips your heart, the words that I'm going to be saying to you will be foolishness unto you. What meaning do they have? And we could be speaking on better subjects, perhaps, as we are here today. But it says in the latter part of that verse, but unto them, or to us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. That means that these words concerning the cross have meaning to us today. It is words that a child of God should cherish in his or her life when we speak concerning the cross of Christ. You know, you look today, and the world wants to see, and we think about the miracles that Jesus did. And I don't lessen the miracles that Jesus did. We're beginning to study through the book of Mark, and we're studying some miracles that Jesus performed. And certainly they were great, great miracles that He did. But then if you look at only the miracles of Jesus, you really miss the purpose of His entire life in which He lived, and ultimately it ended on the cross. And then it's seemingly today that we want to take the Gospels and we seemingly want to just look at life lessons that are learned from the teachings of Jesus. And, folk, I want to say today that life lessons are very important. They're important that we can learn from the words of Jesus. But there's a greater purpose in which Jesus came in just the miracles and just the life lessons that He taught us in life. It is His death on the cross and what He gave and what He accomplished on that cross that's so meaningful. You know, as we sing the old hymn, and you've heard it, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross." And in that song it says, "The emblem of suffering and shame." And I love that old cross, and for where the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners such as you and I today. I want to say emphatically this morning, a preacher cannot preach the gospel without the cross. I'm going to say that again. A preacher cannot preach the gospel without the cross. A church cannot teach the truth without the cross. It cannot teach the truth without the cross. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, a verse that you can memorize, a verse that you have been heard used as a text many, many times in your life. But its words are still true. And those words are, "How that I received from the Lord, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And of course was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." As we look at that statement, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, we find that it's described to us over and over in the Bible. How that Christ died for our sins. Isaiah, I believe, in the Old Testament, explains it better than anyone. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Turn in Isaiah 53. We could quote these verses this morning, but I want to be sure to read them correctly in your hearing. How that He describes to us how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In verse 4, the Bible states, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." There Isaiah describes how that Christ bore our sins in His own body, in His own flesh, on the cross. How that Paul describes, "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." So in that text we note that Christ, how He died. And as we come this morning, we can see that as the Bible tells us why He died. He died substitutionary. He took your place and He took my place. The statement was made as Brother Ron made it this morning. And over in our Sunday school lesson, it taught us this morning, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And my friend, this morning, I can say, all are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. All are sinners. Why did He die? To save sinners. And that is, it includes us all here today. I'm not saying that all will be saved, but I'm saying this morning, He died to save all. It includes us all. And as we look this morning, and as we look at this old cross, I thought about that how every ounce of energy in our body this morning ought to be put forth in this message of the old rugged cross that has the power to save sinners. Before I come to Luke 23 and verse 33, I want to say to you this morning, and I don't say this to make you mad. I don't make this to make you feel uncomfortable this morning. But I do say this to say this. I had a brother in Beaverton Church, and he was a deacon. He had a statement. I used the statement at his funeral. He had a statement that he said all the time. Every time I'd come into a conversation with him, he'd make this statement. Now I want to say this to say this. And I say to you this morning, I want to say this to say this. If you haven't been by the cross, you're not saved. I want to say this to say this. If you have not been by the cross of Calvary, seen yourself as a sinner, seen Jesus as your Savior, dying for your sin, you're not saved. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3 and look with me this morning at verses 14 and 15 and note what Jesus says. He said in verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up," or must be lifted up. My friends, that was on a cross. Lifted up on a cross. In the wilderness, it was a pole. But here, it was His cross. And He makes this statement in verse 15, "And whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, shall not die lost, but what shall have eternal life." If you come by the cross in repentance and faith, trusting His work in His death and burial and resurrection, ye shall have life. You refuse to come to that cross, admitting what we are, a sinner, admitting His death, really calling God untruthful, then, my friend, you perish in your sin. That's bold. You say, "Brother Danny, that's too plain." But it's the truth this morning. As we look this morning in Luke 23, and we look at verse 33, the Bible simply says in a statement, "And when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him." Such a simple little statement, but it in it holds so much truth concerning Jesus, His coming into this world, His living, His dying, even His ascending back to the Father. Now I want you to note the first statement that Luke makes in that gospel. As a matter of fact, all four gospels mention the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Luke makes this statement, "When they were come to the place." You can turn over to Matthew 27 and verse 33, and Matthew's account reads this, "And when they were come to a place." Now you say, "Brother Danny, those words are little words, A and D, and they really don't make much difference." But as you read in the Greek text, when an author used the place, he was designing, he was saying, "Listen, there is no other place." What Matthew was doing was describing the place that was He was being crucified at. Luke tells you emphatically of the place that Jesus was crucified. Calvary comes from that Latin word, calvaria, and it simply means the skull. In the Greek, it meant Golgotha, coming from a wreck. So this morning, listen, Luke describes the place, and he is saying this, geographically, there was a place of destination. I don't believe the hill, I don't believe the place, or the cross that Jesus was crucified on just happened accidentally. I believe it was a place of destination. I read in the Bible where God is not the author of confusion or chaos, but He is the God of order. He does things perfectly. And I believe today that there is nothing, there is not anything that ever catches God by surprise. Now, I use that in terms of this morning. I heard many years ago when astronauts went to the moon. And as they went to the moon, some people made the statement, "Well, I really don't believe there's that place, and I really don't believe they ever went to that place." And so they said, suppositionally, "I'm not sure that they ever happened in history."
And I want to say to you this morning, you can be sure this happened in history. It's a matter of fact, but it's a matter biblically. There are places in this world, folk, that I have never been. Many places. Many places. And though I have been privileged to go to Jerusalem, and though I have been privileged to stand at the hill Golgotha or Calvary or the skull, I want to tell you this morning that when God says in His Word, there is a place and there is the place that His Son was crucified, I remind you that the Bible says God does not lie. And I remind you that the things recorded in God's Word is true. And that is a statement that I want you to accept this morning, that geographically, in this world, there was the place that God had destined, that God had fixed, that His Son would come to that cross and die. I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I can see in the mind of God, which I don't know the mind of God, but I just contemplate this morning that in God's mind, that God with His foreknowledge knew what was going to take place when He created man. You've heard the statement, God knew Adam would sin, and God knew that he would disobey Him. Certainly God did, because you listened this morning. God is an infinite God. God knows all things. And folk, those all things mean He knew the beginning from the end. He knows the end to the beginning. He knows all things. And when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that didn't catch God by surprise. That was no accident with God. He knew in His foreknowledge, which allows Him to know things that are happening, but allows Him to prepare for those things that will come to pass. And we come through the book of Genesis, and we reach a man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham, you remember, had his wife. Her name was Sarah. They were elderly people. They couldn't have a child, but God gave them a promise. He says, in your elder age, in the elder years, you're going to have a child. And his name will be called Isaac, the son of promise. But what I want you to get this morning in Genesis 22 is an incident in the life of Abraham and that son of promise, Isaac. The Bible says in Genesis 22 and verse 2, that God said to him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. After him there are burnt for an offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee. Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him, Isaac his son. They clave the wood, or gathered the wood, and the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told them. Then on the third day, now note this, on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, now note, and saw the place afar off. What did he see? He saw the mount. He saw the place where God had instructed him to take his son and offer him up there as a sacrifice. Now you say, Brother Danny, I'll tell you what, God could have just chose one of the places over in Africa. God could have chose a place in the United States. Folk, God did not do that. God chose a certain place. A certain place. The place. And the Bible says here in verse 9, it came to pass when God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, that they laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac his son in order, and bound his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What did it say? The place where God had instructed him. If I understand the Scriptures right, and if I understand those who know which a lot better than I, they said, listen, that place where God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, X marked the spot. You say, what do you mean? X marked the spot. The same place where Abraham offered up Isaac. As the years roll by in that country, as the years roll by in Jewish history, the same exact place where Abraham offered up Isaac was the place that God took His Son and offered Him up for our sins on that mountain. and an amazing thing to me as I study the Holy Land, and as I study the land of Jerusalem, and I study that place, it is exact in the center of this world. You can take your little circumference, you can draw it around this world, and if you want to find the center where it spreads from, it is Jerusalem and that place. You say, Brother Danny, just coincidence. No, I believe this. I believe Calvary is a place afforded for all. You can come from Africa, you can come from Russia, you can come from the south, the north, the east, and the west, and folk, you listen. That is the place where God destined, where God said and destinated that I'm going to meet man in his sinfulness with my holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, as we look at that old rugged cross, you say, listen, is it there? It's there in history, Brother Dale. It's there biblically, Brother Dale. And we substantiate, and it's not some story that's been grown up. It's not something that's been lifted up. It's a fact, and we tell it truthfully to you today. Geographically, in that land, the place where our Lord died on that cross. Now, folks, listen. I've got this little saying. You've heard me say it so many times before. There is no place like this place, anywhere in the world near this place, like this place. So this must be the place. Now I want you to know something. In the Old Testament, Moses went up into the mount. And in that mount, God gave the law. And then, the Bible says, when Jesus, after He had risen, went up into a mount, the Mount of Olives, and ascended back to the heaven, as a matter of fact, He's coming back to that mount. But there's a mount right in the middle. And you say, Brother Dave, what's that mount? It's Mount Calvary, where Jesus offered His life for our sins on that old cross. Listen today. That ground is level ground. Level ground. You say, why do you mean, Brother Danny? All sinners come to that place. You say, now, Brother Danny, what about the murderer? He comes to that place. Brother Danny, what about the drunkard? He comes to that place. Oh, Brother Danny, you don't understand. I'm the good neighbor. You come to that place. It's a place where all people come. And folk, you listen. I can say this morning, it's a place of love. Amen. Greater love has this than no man, than a man do what? Lay down his life for his friends. It was at that place the greatest expression of love was shown at the cross. You say this morning, and many people say, and the tragedy we had in our community just this past weekend, a little girl in high school, I think she was 13 years old. And the story is saying, I don't know what the story is, and I don't know what's behind that. But the story said that the kids wore pajamas Friday to high school. And some of the kids maybe had made fun of her, kind of picked at her a little. And it said that she went home that evening and hanged herself. Now that's a tragedy. Somehow in her emotion, somehow in her feelings, she felt no one cared for her. She felt someone didn't care for her and respect her as she was. But I want to tell you something this morning. When you come to Calvary, the ground is level. I don't care if you got on good pajamas. I don't care if you got on overalls. I don't care if you're rich in a three-piece suit or what. When you come to Calvary, you come there as a sinner that sinned and comes short of the glory of God. whether he's President Obama or he's down here in the jail cell somewhere. The cross at Calvary speaks of what? It speaks that we come as we are to that cross to receive Christ as our Savior. I may be speaking to someone here this morning, and you say, Brother Danny, I'm going to get ready to come to that place. Brother Danny, I've got to do this to come to that place. My friend, you've got to come as you are, realizing you're a sinner, being willing to turn from that and look to Jesus on that cross for salvation. I want to remind you again, geographically, it is a place that God has appointed and that God said that He would meet us in the person of Jesus Christ. But you look here more carefully and you find something else as you study this text. Look back at Luke 23 and verse 33 again. The Bible says in Luke 23, the Bible says, there they did what? There they crucified Him. And as you note and study the Scripture, crucifixion meant a type of death. And as you study very quickly that death, there was suffering. Isaiah said, by His stripes we're healed. David said, they pierced my hands and my feet. My bones, they look out and stare at me. The apostle states, they beat Him, scourging Him. The apostle state, they stripped Him of His clothing. He was made sin for us. When you come to the cross, it is a place of suffering. I'm not saying you pick out someone that's suffering physically. I'm not saying you pick out someone that has suffered a loss. When you come to Calvary, it is a place where a man suffered, and that suffering was without comprehension as he died, gave his life on that cross through the work of Gethsemane unto that cross. Jesus suffered beyond my comprehension and yours. Sometimes we take an illustration. This person dies severely with cancer. How they suffer. And that is true. Many times we suffer, say that people suffer the loss of all things. And this morning, if you want to compare suffering, you say, well, Brother Danny, we always think of Job. There was a man suffered greater than Job, and that was Jesus. Because Jesus suffered entirely in His body, emotion, and spirit for us on that old cross. So this morning for me to try to give you something that would bring that suffering down to a level that we can understand is beyond comprehension. Only the Holy Spirit can show us the sufferings that Jesus went through on the cross. And then lastly, very quickly, personally, is a place of salvation. It is. Personally, it's a place of salvation. Now, as was stated one week in the revival this week, and you've heard that message before, I know here, a person may think of Christ historically and read it in a book, and you know about Jesus. To be honest with you, before I was saved, I knew about Jesus. You say, well, how? Because my Sunday school teacher told me about Jesus. Mother and Daddy told me about Jesus. And I sit there with a dull head, heard preachers talk about Jesus. So I knew about Jesus. But I didn't know Jesus. I knew about Him. That won't get it with it. That's not going to get you to heaven. You say, I want to tell the Lord I know about Jesus. That gets me to heaven. No, it doesn't. There are a lot of people in this world who know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Him. They don't know Him. I've said it again. My dad didn't have a sixth grade education, but I believe with all my heart my daddy knew Jesus. I believe by the action of his life. So just being taught about Jesus doesn't bring one into a relationship with Jesus. And as was said, because of the testimony of others, we know Jesus. Thank the Lord that people can stand and say, I know Jesus. And that brings comfort to my heart. And when I was lost, that brought conviction to my heart, Brother Lincoln. But just by other people's testimony, doesn't bring me to Jesus. You say, Brother Danny, what brings you to Jesus? Personally, seeing Jesus on the cross, dying for me.
You say, well, your name's not mentioned. No, it's not. It's not mentioned. But I want to tell you it is mentioned because the Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Now note, and whosoever will, let him come and take the name of the Lord, or take the life, take the Lord Jesus. Now I want to show you something. You say, well, Brother Danny, your name's not mentioned. Yes, it is. It's in that little word, whosoever. Right there it is. You say, well, how can you say that? You listen. Whosoever includes all those in reach of God's love. You think about it. Whosoever includes all those that are in reach of God's love. And I believe this morning that I was in reach of God's love. Because the Bible says the love of God reaches to the lowest hell. And you believe me, God's love reaches to you and I today. Well, whosoever, who does it mean? It means all those under the redemption of the Son's sacrifice. And you say, well, who did He sacrifice His life for? You and me. For Christ has once suffered for what? Sin. Christ sacrificed covers me this morning. And you look at thirdly. Why does whosoever you mean you, Brother Dan? Because there was a day that I came under the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that I was a sinner. And revealed to me that Jesus died personally for me. And folk, listen. He gave me the faith and the grace to trust Him as my Savior. In Luke, the thief on the cross said, Lord, we justly are in due reward of these things which we have done. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And I believe he was saved. Folk, you listen today. Personally, come to the cross and receive Christ as your Savior. Oh, devil, he's busy in the world today, isn't he? He's busy deceiving. And as I say today, this message today, folk, you've heard it thousands of times before. About hundreds of times before that old rugged cross. But I'll tell you something. I believe the cross is to be more than something we just pull out of the closet at Easter time. I really do. Kind of like clothes we pull out, getting now close to Christmas time, we begin to pull them out. I believe the cross is to be more than that. I believe the cross is to be preached as through the gospel that we come to that cross. You may have your name on a church roll, and that's in its proper place, but your name on a church roll will not get you to heaven. You've got to come by the cross. I said, Brother Danny, I've been baptized. And I'm thankful for baptism. But you've got to come by the cross. You said, well, what? Why? Because Jesus told us. And the way of the cross leads home. It leads to heaven. All this morning, as a sinner, being willing to come to that cross, confess your sin. Asking Christ in your heart by faith. And the Lord will do it. You say, how do you know He'll do that? Because the Bible says, all that will come to Him, He will in no wise refuse or turn away. If you'll come to Him, to that cross, He'll save you today. And if you're here this morning, and you're a child of God, may we never get away from the shadow of the price paid for us on that cross. I ask you to stand today. Father, we thank You for the old rugged cross. Lord, it's wonderful to study how great power You had to come to see how that You could raise the dead. Lord, those miracles did show that You were the Son of God. Lord, the life lessons You taught that we can take today and apply them, they're wonderful. But Lord, the purpose which You came, Lord, to go to that cross and give Your life for sinners such as we today. Thank You for Your love. And Lord, we all have to say we're all sinners. There's saved and there's unsaved. But Lord, today, if there's one here that You have been dealing with that heart through Your Holy Spirit, I pray today, if they've never come to that cross and confessed who they are and what they're about and what You are, that You would give them the grace and courage to do it. Lord, at this invitation, just step out and let us share the praise and share the joy that we know they experience in their heart. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen.